All right. Welcome to the VIP iPhone Users Group session for June the 5th. Thank you all for coming. Today I'm going to start off by talking about organization of apps. So a lot of times when you download an app, they kind of go willy-nilly and they, you know, and it's like, okay, where is that app? Where is that? So what I do, and I am not the one for organization, I'm sorry to say, sometimes I will look for an app and I don't know where it's at. And I've got 10 pages of apps. So I will most likely ask the Siri for assistance to find a specific app for me. But if you, I find that what I do is I put more of my most frequently used, and that's Skype doing that. I don't know why. I don't know if you guys can hear that. But anyway, more of my most frequently used apps, I have them on the same page. So I can just go to that page and I know most everything I want to do is on that page. So, it used to, when you wanted to move an app from one location to another, you had to do a double tap and hold and wait for the app, the icon to start wiggling. Of course, we couldn't really tell that it was wiggling, but you just hoped that it was. And then you flicked up and did all this. So now they've made it a lot easier to do this. So I want to kind of do a slight demonstration of that. So I'm on my main home screen. So that's
page 1 of 10, adjustable.
Okay, so down at the bottom next to your
dock, phone, 22 items,
dock,
page 1 of 10, adjustable,
is your page list. So by flicking up, you can move from page to page.
Page 2 of 10, page 3 of 10.
The app I want to move, I believe, is on page 4.
Page 4 of 10.
I think.
Dice World.
Yeah, that's the app I want to move. And it's at the upper top. So in order to move this app, I'm just going to flick up and double tap to edit.
Start editing.
So now once it started editing, you can flick up.
Drag Dice World.
Drag Dice World. Now I want to drag it. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to double tap there. And then I'm going to start moving.
YouTube is editing. Three items.
And anywhere along the way, if I want to move another one, I can do the same thing. I can pick it up and add it to the drag session.
Spotify is editing. Google Home is editing. iRobot is editing. Eclipse Soundscape is editing.
As long as you hear that is editing, you can pick up any other, you can pick up 4 or 5 apps if you want.
Is editing.
I want it on page 3. That's my more, that's where most of the apps that I use is located. So
is editing. Page 3 of 11. Adjust. Tape it. Is editing.
Tape it. Yeah.
Is editing.
I'll put it.
Is editing. Dice World. You have Dice World. Edit mode. Start editing. Activate. Default. Drag Dice World. Drop Dice World after my eyes. Drop ready. Drop complete. Row 6. Column 4. Drag my eyes. Dice World. Is editing. Stop editing apps. Finish editing. Be my eyes.
Okay, so now it's
Dice World.
It took a little finagling, but it's where I want it to be.
I'll give you a hint, though. This hopefully helps a lot of people. You're going to find the pages and swiping up and down with one finger to go from page 3 to page 4. When you're in the home screen like that, you can use a 3-finger swipe to the left to go from page 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, and you can use a 3-finger swipe right to go from 4 to 3 to 2.
How did you get it to stop editing when you got to where you wanted to drop it?
There, when you flick up, one of the options as you, when you flick up is stop editing apps. And then I double tapped on that. Another way to stop editing apps is to activate the home screen.
Oh, you mean by just, well, not pressing the home button because a lot of people don't have that anymore, but activating the home button.
Yeah, for example, say, edit mode, started editing,
activate,
drag,
delete,
that stop editing apps, or another way is I can flick up to go to the home screen, and it does the same thing.
Okay, so like those of us who have an SE that still have the home button, we can just push that home button.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yep. So that's, for me, that would be an all-day project, moving and rearranging apps and getting them. And some people like to put a lot of similar type apps in folders. I mean, that it will do that create folder with this, and you can keep add to folder, add to folder, add to folder. And you can rename the folder, or it will actually give a name to it. Like, I've got a radio folder, a navigation folder, a news folder, that kind of thing.
I've got several on mine as well. And I don't think I named any of them. I think they gave it names. Like, I've got a productivity folder, and I can't remember what the other ones are, but they do kind of cluster like-minded apps in there.
Yeah, I have a productivity folder that had Seeing AI, Envision, VD Scan, and something else. But they're all in that. And that's where, when I read my mail or do some things like that, that's the app I go to.
The other thing, though, is if a person wants to open a special, a specific app, you can ask Siri, like, you know, a lot of times if I want to just check something out in the mail or whatever, I'll just ask her to open, or ask him, I have the Siri mail, ask him to open Seeing AI or, what's the other one? Be My Eyes.
Yeah, and if you don't wait long enough, you'll hear the ever-present, "What would you like to know about?" Like, okay.
I have an app on my phone, and I haven't played with it. I don't know where it came from. And I think it's called Synthes or something. I have no idea what it does to determine whether I want to keep it.
Well, there must have been something that prompted you to download it. I was demonstrating the PixieBot, and then earlier, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but PixieBot is an app that will sort of describe, it's an enhanced description of a picture or a video. But the only claim to fame for me is it will describe a video, but it puts a little too much extra verbiage in there. I just want to know who's in the video, what they're doing, what they're wearing, that kind of thing. I don't want any kind of, oh, this has a happy vibe, or this is, oh, I get such a good feeling from this, or, you know, I don't want any of that. So I took a picture of my living room with the PixieBot, and it said it was a grim, solemn space, you know, that gave, like, somebody had left it and unfinished. And then I took a picture of the same room, same area, with Be My Eyes, and it was just telling me what was where and what color it was and that kind of thing, so, which is what I want to hear. So I don't know if anybody has done any kind of comparisons with that.
I'm going to ask another question. Oh, okay. So that PixieBot, they don't have a verbosity setting of any kind where you can get more simplified descriptions.
I didn't see that. I know that you can change the voice, and you can, well, there's enthusiastic. I picked serious, so maybe I picked a little too serious. I don't know. But I wanted more description, less verbiage, if that makes any sense.
It does to me. I've heard an example of it. Like, that the PixieBot just puts in, like, too much emotional description, trying to send, like, a happy setting and stuff like that. Seems like a wonderful place to be if you were out with family or something like that. I don't know. I'm more for the description as well.
Okay, so I'm in the PixieBot setting, so it's got
3:20 p.m. Dynamic island empty. AI model. Claude 3 Paiku button.
So it's got
model controls, heading. Increase speed, image. 100, adjustable. Decrease speed, image. Speaking rate, heading. Switch button on. Personality.
Personality. Maybe if I turn the personality off.
Select voice. Honest. Serious. Button. Personality. Switch button. On. Off. Speaking rate. Heading. Decrease speed. Image. 100. Increase speed. Image. Model controls. Heading. AI model. Claude 3 Haiku. Button. Length. Decrement. Button. Increment. Button. 40. Selected language. System language. Button. Video quality. Low. Button. Feedback. Heading. Waiting sound. Switch button. On. Share. Heading. Share audio. Share. Button. Developer. Heading. Feedback more.
Okay, so settings, that's pretty heading. Much all
settings,
it.
Heading. Settings, heading, settings, heading, close, button.
Let me pick up. Okay, I don't know what it's doing. It might be taking a picture, the picture I took earlier of the room. Let's see what it comes up with.
This image shows the interior of a living room or lounge area. The key elements in the scene include 1, chair. There is a padded brown armchair positioned towards the center of the image, facing slightly to the right. 2, table.
Into my
foreground, there is an oval-shaped coffee table with a marble top and ornate wooden legs. 3, items on the table. A computer keyboard.
What else? Well, it just stopped.
Next spot, heading. Chair, button, chair, button. Video, button. Microphone, button, camera, button, camera, button, microphone, button.
Well, that's not good. But anyway, that was much better than the one we had before.
Adjustable.
Yeah, maybe that's the key there. Mar, thanks.
Huh. Wow. I mean, I just guessed. That's pretty cool.
I'd be curious to know what it does with the video now with all that personality turned off. I'm going to load one up and I'll be right with you.
Oh, voice activation active.
Okay, so now I chose the video. It's of confetti during her birthday banana split where she's eating it. Now, the last time I did it, it says she was eating a piece of meat. Anybody that knows about horses knows that they don't eat meat. Here we go.
The air thick with the scent of hay and manure. The light filtered
really?
From high windows casts long shadows on the rough dirt floor. A miniature horse, a beautiful palomino with a dusting of dark spots, stands at a red bucket. It's a sturdy little horse, its coat sleek and well-groomed. The horse is bent low over the bucket, its head dipped inside, taking large bites of feed. The horse's ears are perked forward, attentive to any potential noises or distractions. There are faint sounds of hooves shuffling and the rustle of hay coming from the next stall.
I don't think so.
Its movements measured and graceful. The quiet of the barn surrounds us, broken only by the soft sounds of the horses munching.
Boy, that's an exaggeration. That's way, way off.
It's a pretty picture, but interesting.
So when I send feedback to this company, I'm going, you guys need to work on this app. It's not quite... It's making certain assumptions, like it's all a horse, so it assumed it was in a barn, so it come on. Thanks, Jeff. I was kind of leaning into it. I usually don't, so thanks for letting me know. All right, so anyway, any questions? Does anybody have any questions or suggestions or want to talk about anything? Floor is open. Has anybody updated to the latest iOS 17.5.1?
I did last night. I don't notice any difference.
Yeah, I've been running it ever since it came out. I haven't really noticed any difference either.
Well, don't faint or anything, but I am contemplating updating the iPhone to 17.5.1 and just diving in. Figured I'm dealing with problems as it is, so why not? You know, I think I'll just go ahead and do it.
Well, I have not had any problems with it at all. Typically, though, I don't seem to have much problem with, you know, with it.
Well, that's as good as the green light for me. but mine was doing some really weird things. Like it would, when I opened the mail and I'd start flicking, it would go search and then dictate. I couldn't get away from that without touching another part of the screen. And then it would let me do it, but it's just acting really different. Same thing in the Meshes app. It'll do the search and then it gets stuck on that dictate button until I touch somewhere else on the screen. It's been doing that for the last couple of weeks now.
I take it you probably do research your phone, Caitlin.
I did it today and it didn't make any difference.
That's something I've had really good luck with. Whenever it starts acting kind of crazy, I restart it, usually straightens it out.
Yeah, normally if it's acting, you know, a little flaky, a good restart will fix it. But this thing, I don't know if they updated the app and that's just what it does, or if I changed the setting in settings that would cause this issue. But it's really annoying.
One thing I've noticed lately, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if this update version fixes it. Terry and I do a lot of audio messaging back and forth. And I used to be able to say when I'd get a message from him, you know, it would play it and then it would say, do you want to reply? And I would say reply with audio and it would say, go ahead, and it would start recording. Now, it will not let me reply with audio. I've tried all different types of verbiage, reply with audio, reply with voice, speak the reply, all sorts of different things, and it won't let me do it anymore. It just automatically goes into text mode. Has anybody else had that experience?
Have you tried, instead of saying reply with audio, have you just tried saying send Terry Borden audio message?
Well, yeah, Mar, you described exactly what I do, and it works perfectly for me.
I can send him an audio message initially, like if I initiate the conversation, then I can say, send audio message to Terry Borden, and it'll say, to Terry in messages, and then it'll say, go ahead, or something like that, but not for replying.
Yeah, so I guess they probably broke something. What's a big surprise? So just, you know, instead of saying reply, just do send audio message to Terry and just leave out the reply, and that should fix it.
Yeah, that's what she's suggesting. Don't say reply. Just send Terry Borden an audio message instead of saying reply.
Yeah, if you just send it like it was the first one you were sending, it will reply. I mean, it's not going to start a new message. It'll just continue on within the message thread.
Right, but do I have to take the Siri out of reply mode? You know how it does when it reads the message?
Accessories connected in your home. I can help once you've set.
Oh, just be quiet. He thought I was talking to him, which I wasn't. Anyway, now I lost my train of thought. Okay, so if you listen to the message and it says, do you want to reply? Do you have to say no and go back out of the reply mode and then resend it as a new message?
I don't use that feature, but if it says, do you want to reply, then you don't want to say reply. You just say yes, and then see what it prompts you to say. If it goes, what do you want to say? And then you get a beep, then just say your message.
Because I'll say yes, but then it'll automatically take me into text mode. It won't let me reply with voice.
I take it you tried saying yes with audio?
I haven't tried that particular verbiage, no.
Well, let me send you a message tomorrow and we'll see how it works.
These voice things are really finicky. It's just like with the A-Lady. When you say, I listen to the Blaze Radio Network, and I used to always say, play the Blaze Radio Network from iHeartRadio. Now you have to take the thought out. She doesn't understand what you're saying until you say play Blaze Radio. And I mean, you don't know that. All of a sudden that just changes what you do and what you say, and you just have to play with it.
I'll just bet that when she sends me the message and it says, do you want to reply? And I say yes with audio, it'll say, your message says yes with audio, and it'll be text, but we'll try it. I just heard it come in now, so.
Cheryl said.
Hi, how's it going?
Would you like to reply?
Yes, with audio.
To Cheryl in messages. Go ahead.
Okay, make a liar out of me. Bye.
Send it?
Yes.
It's sent.
Okay, so that does work. Yes, with audio. Okay. I don't know whoever came up with that suggestion, but I appreciate it.
It happens every time, Mark. They just love to do it the way you're not expecting.
Yep. Unread one audio message, so good deal. Well, I'm glad we, that's what this group is all about, to fix issues. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to figure out how to solve that one ever since the other thing broke that I used to do.
I've been playing around a lot with you'd say the older version of VD scan, because I get a lot of paper here where they want you to fill in information or whatever. So I've been doing pretty good with things that are in good portrait text and straightforward printing. But one of the things that we get is a landscape text page that goes across in columns, and it's got lines that are drawn, you know, with boxes, like the date of an activity, the name of the activity, yes, you want to attend it, no, you don't want to attend it, etc. And I've been trying to figure out if there is a way, and I don't see that there is, or if there is another app that would be able to read things, and then I email it to myself and put it on my computer with LibreOffice Writer and answer the questions that the form wants me to fill out and print it out. And I've been trying to figure out if there's a way, either with VD Scan or if there is another app, or am I asking too much of this technology?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I have run across that particular situation. I'm going into the VD Scan app to see if there's a setting for, that would be column mode, would it not?
Yeah. And I don't even see where you would change that. I can't find where you would even make a distinction between, I forget what they would call. I know that when you used to have the old fashioned reading edge scanners, you could change it from column mode to, you know, straightforward text or whatever they called it. But I don't see that here.
It wouldn't be, because there is a thing in one of those, and I don't know if it was the VD scan or, you know, where you could scan several pages at a time, kind of like you used to do on the old open book. Because I actually scanned a book that way one time. I put it in my Danny Boy stand and scanned the book. It turned out okay, but I didn't find it quite as easy as I used to do with like my Pearl camera or whatever.
Yeah, you can do that. And in fact, depending on the width of the book, I've gotten VD scan where it reads the left side of the page and the right side of the page together, and it actually does it in the right order and everything. It can't be too wide of a book for the camera angle to get it in there, but I see nothing where you can tell it that you're reading things in columns and you want the columns to be in the correct order.
Yeah, I just went into settings and there's no reference to columns at all. But I had a thought, you can go into the Be My Eyes and take a picture of it. And then in there, you can ask it questions and see if you have more success using Be My Eyes.
But that still wouldn't get it into a form for her to fill in the fields with, like on a paper or something, you know, because you wouldn't be able to fill it in on the phone screen. Am I making sense?
You wouldn't be able to, unless it comes up with an edit field, you wouldn't be able to do that anyway, and that scanning apps are not really set up for that. But you can also call a Be My Eyes volunteer and they can read the screen to you. So that's also an option.
Yeah, what Mara is saying is right. I can, when it's straightforward, I can, you know, email the picture to myself and open it up in a word processor. And then all of those places where you have to fill things out, you can do it. And that's what I'm attempting to do. And I'm thinking that's probably a little too much to ask of the technology, but that would be so handy because I get a lot of things like that here.
Well, that's very clever. You know, it never occurred to me to do anything like that, but that's very smart. Have you tried emailing yourself one of those calendar things just to see if it's laid out in a particular way that you can edit it in an email?
Are you on Apple Vis at all? Because that might be something to pose to some of those dudes, because some of those people are pretty sharp, and they might be able to give you some pointers on how to get it into a format that would be easy to work with.
Yeah, Cheryl, I have attempted to email one of those to myself, and when I've looked at it, now again, I don't know, then you get into the question of it's not reading the things in the proper order. So is that a JAWS issue? And can you then take that document and change how JAWS displays it? I haven't fooled around with that yet, but that.
Yeah. Have you used PictureSmart with it and see if that will actually make a difference if you have JAWS, the latest version of JAWS? But yeah, a lot of times I'll read some email and it'll say date, time, you know, event and stuff. And then you're reading it and it's like, okay, what event goes with what date, what time? So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not sure what a solution to that would be.
Yeah, because it doesn't read it across like the columns where they'd be across from each other. It reads it vertically.
A lot of mail that I get, like my, you know, your phone bill is a lot like that. It'll, when you scan it, it'll read all those, you know, services and stuff like that. A credit card bill will read the same way. And like I notice when I get a pay stub and I try to read it with my phone, and the same thing, you know. You just have to, like, try to listen to the order and put it together. So that's just, people don't realize what we have to do.
Yeah, that would be really cool if they would come out with some kind of an app. I mean, my gosh, they're coming out with so many things lately. It would just be so neat if they would come out with some kind of an app where we could fill in forms like that, because that is the biggest struggle. Is, you know, trying to get somebody to fill in forms for us.
Well, there is another, that, you know, I'm wondering if there's a form maker for, that, you know, because you know how they say there's an app for that? I wonder if there's a form maker where you can actually put in the fields yourself. And then, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Sounded like it was an actual hard copy paper that she was dealing with Jeff, because she scanned it and it tried to glean the text out of it that way. So it was confetti putting in some words of wisdom there, Cheryl.
She was trying to ask for, you know what? So she's like, oh, again, you're busy. What are you doing? I sort of waved my hand at her, you know, and she knows to hush. And she'll come in the office when I'm working, you know, and I'll put my hand out. I'm like, nope, I'm on the phone.
The other thing that I was looking into last night, and I don't know, of course, it isn't really having to do with the phone, but I was trying to figure out if there was a way to test your typing speed. And, of course, you could do that on a Bluetooth keyboard with a phone, but I kind of started hitting dead ends.
Wasn't there a typing, talking teacher thing that was designed to do that?
I think it's supposed to teach you the basics of typing, but I don't know if there's actually a speed test involved with it or not. I think it was put out through AFB or something.
I wish I could remember. I do remember like Talking Typer, and I think I read about one a couple months ago. I think it said something about speed test, but I do not remember what it was called or where. Maybe the American, printing house or something passed one. Unfortunately, I can't remember. Sorry about that.
That's an excellent suggestion, Jeff.
Yeah, if you can think of enough to say for 1 minute, you got to be creative.
Well, this is what we used to do. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of our country, and we type that and type that and type that and type that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Something like that would work.
If you really want to practice, you can even put either an audio book or a podcast and see how fast you can dictate, you know, just type whatever is being said. I don't know.
Well, of course, you know, when we were young, we used to have a dictaphone machine, and we would type, you know, use a foot pedal and type what we heard. And it was pretty easy to do it then, although we still had to have things spoken. But I remember doing that when I was in school.
Well, Cheryl, I tried to get Pandora, and now I've got two apps that don't seem to be Pandora that we were talking about. So just trying to chat with Hank. I guess it's changed now. So
earlier, Della was wanting to add a phone number from her messages to her contact list. Della, were you successful? Della, did you hear me? She's off in Pandora land.
Evidently, oh, I have had a heck of a time with that. I think I worked on it for a half hour one time, finally got it to work. And the thing I hate about so much of this stuff is you're going around and around trying to find the procedure for something so much that when you finally get it to work, you forget what you did.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, well, I did it. Don't ask me how.
Yeah, I figured out because I looked, and on the App Store for Pandora, sorry, different comment, and I asked the A-lady if Pandora is available in Canada, and it is not, so she's unable to get it.
That might be a problem, Della.
Oh, that's the deal. Gee, I thought it was worldwide.
No, many apps are not, believe it or not. I mean, there's even some in the UK we can't get here. Either that, some of it's because they're more local. It depends where the it's being developed, who made it, and if they want to make it international. But yeah, there's a lot of apps that are just available in the United States.
Interesting.
And then some are area specific, like Netflix. If you go to the UK, you cannot watch the Netflix you have here. It has to be like a net, you know. For example, Netflix.UK versus Netflix.USA.
Yeah, well, I know like Amazon has different divisions depending on where you are.
Yep, great example. Even to Canada, which is right here, they have Amazon.ca, not .com.
GBC is the same way. They have their own version in Canada, the UK, different places.
But I get it. It has to do with shipping, I think. So then they know where it's going to go. And because I know if, I think in Canada, they can't order from here.com, but then they have all kinds of, is it customs cost or whatever? Import cost, taxes, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I asked Siri it was available in Canada, and she said, I don't have an app called Pandora. Go to the App Store. So, yeah, that's Siri. Okay.
Oh, and Della, Cheryl asked you earlier, you probably stepped away for a second. Were you able to finish and add that your nephew's contact to your phone?
Oh, I've added 3 or 4. Thank you so much. That was so helpful. I didn't hear you. Sorry, Cheryl.
All right. Could someone give me a step-by-step process on how to do that? Because I, like I said, I worked on it forever. Finally got it. But, boy, it was hard.
Hank, it's the very first thing to do that. Hank, you're up.
Well, first, let me ask you, because Della did it one way. I'm trying to, it depends on how you're doing it. She was asking, like, she got a text from her nephew. So it comes up as a phone number, and then she wanted to add her nephew to her contacts. Is that what you mean, or do you want to just start fresh, like you have the information and you want to open up contacts?
No, I want to add exactly like what you were saying. I want to add someone who has sent me a message as a contact.
Okay, I'll give you the quick version. If I go too fast, I'll repeat it or we'll give you a demo if need be. But basically, you open up your messages. You go to that person's message, double tap, open the message. It's probably going to put focus towards the bottom near the edit field or the last message that came in. So go to the top left where the back button is and then swipe once to the right. When you hear the phone number, double tap on that. Then swipe right, depending on if they have an iPhone, you'll hear call or FaceTime, a couple different options. When you get to info, double tap on that. Then after that, I find it the easiest to bring my thumb, which is what I normally swipe with. You could use any finger, all the way to the bottom of the screen, like the bottom right. And you'll hear block, I forget the exact word, but say, I'll just say user for lack of a better word because I can't think of it. Block user, add new contact, create new contact, add to existing contact. So if it's somebody already in your contacts and say they're just, calling you or texting you from a second phone or their work phone, that's where add to existing would go in. If you don't have their number before, you want create new contact, double tap on that. It'll put you in the first name edit field. You type that, swipe right to last name, and the phone number will already be put in there, but it'll ask like for work, email, if you even want that. Usually it's just first, last name, then swipe left or go to the top left and done, and then back all the way out. You have to hit like back or dismiss pop-up window. There's a couple of different choices, top left all the time, about three times.
Yeah, I knew that, and that's cool. So I'll be able to listen to it again. But it totally makes sense as I hear it.
So open message, click on number, click on info, all the way at the bottom, create new contact, enter information, done, back out.
Great. I have been wanting that procedure for a long time. Thank you so much, sir.
You are very welcome.
All right. Well, we're coming to the close of the hour, so I think that's a good place to stop. So thank you all for coming in to the VIP users, iPhone users group.